content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Demi Arsenault with the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Lion Magazine. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Lion Magazine, and this month we're going to do something a little different because I realized there were so many beautiful articles that we never were able to touch on while we were in full lockdown back in 2020, and so we're going to read some of those today. I am, however, going to start with this month's President's Message. And so this article is from June of 2022. So we'll begin here. It's titled, Your Most Precious Resource. And it says, Dear Lions, what do you do with your free time? I believe that how you spend your free time can change you. Most of us are so busy racing through the day that it becomes easy to let those free moments slip through your fingers, whether it's aimlessly scrolling the internet or spending too much time worrying about something that is out of your control. But I believe it's crucial to be intentional about how we use our most precious resource, time. One thing Lions all have in common is the fact that we're committed to using our free time to help others. Over the course of my year as your international president, I have seen Lions all over the world spend their free time in pursuit of something bigger than themselves. You seek out those who need help. You see a need and you meet it. And you put more of your time into your service, you put your whole heart into it. This is what has made it so special for me. When I look back on how I spent my time this past year, I know with full certainty that it was spent well. It was spent with purpose. I used the time I have here on earth to do something good, just as you did. And I have you all to thank for that. I want to thank you for giving me the honor of serving you this past year, and I look forward to serving with you for many years to come. To be a Lion is to use your time wisely. To be a Lion is to serve from the heart. Yours in service, Douglas X. Alexander, International President of Lions Clubs International. All right, so our first article I'm going to read is from July of 2020. Really pretty story titled, Past LCIF Support Prepares Sierra Leone for COVID-19. Across the world, droves of people are showing up to hospitals in need of care. The new coronavirus, which causes COVID-19, is depleting medical resources, changing the way society lives, and is setting unprecedented standards. Hospitals are running out of ventilators, protective equipment, and even beds. They do not have enough staff to handle all of the patients who need help. Many medical workers are being overworked. While this pandemic may be a new reality for some, unfortunately, Koidu Government Hospital in Sierra Leone has seen this before. From 2014 to 2016, Sierra Leone battled the Ebola virus. Being one of the countries hardest hit, they lost nearly 4,000 lives, including 7% of their healthcare workers. Closed schools, shut down businesses, and overrun hospital are scenes all too familiar for local citizens. When news of COVID-19 broke, hospital workers were shaken, remembering the horrors that Ebola brought upon their country. However, this time, they feel prepared. In the wake of the Ebola outbreak, with designated donations primarily from the Lions of Europe, Lions Club International Foundation, also known as LCIF, donated $244,068 to nonprofit organization Partners in Health, also known as PIH. With LCIF's support, PIH was able to renovate the triage area at the Koita Government Hospital and build an emergency isolation building, especially for limiting contact and providing urgent medical care. Along with the renovations and added isolation support, LCIF's support provided added infection control through an industrial incinerator and laundry department, additions that allow dedicated staff to properly dispose of waste and wash linens. In addition to increasing the hospital's physical capacity, LCIF's support was able to provide professional development training for the hospital's environmental health team, also known as EHT. The EHT is vital to safety and functionality of the hospital, especially during infectious outbreaks. They organize safe patient triage, proper sanitation, and waste management. A once shuttered facility and a mistrusted health system continues to transform into beacons of high-quality care where it once didn't exist, says Jordan McGinn of PIH, Director of Policy and Partnerships in Sierra Leone. LCIF played and plays a large role in this metamorphosis. The foundation's early investments in the niche facility, upgrades, and staff support have helped produce a hospital patients feel comfortable turning to. LCIF support created a sustainable infrastructure for years to come. Koita Government Hospital was ready to respond and provide the proper treatment for COVID-19 patients in their hospital. Lions are rising up like never before, passionate about protecting their communities and supporting their medical staff. With assistance from LCIF, Lions in every constitutional area are purchasing masks, gloves, protective gowns, medical supplies, and more, and are delivering them to areas that are most impacted by COVID-19. Our next article is from September of 2020, Relief from the Comfort of Home. Learning that your child has cancer is unfathomable. It is a moment you will surely never forget, sitting in the doctor's office, trying to understand the words coming from the doctor, feeling as if the world around you is crashing. It is easy to let your mind think the worst, especially in areas of the world without access to treatment or aftercare. In Bosnia and Herzegovina, only one hospital provides cancer treatment for children, and until Lions and Lions Clubs International Foundation, also known as LCIF, took action, it did not have a follow-up program. Economic hardships and distance make it difficult to maintain regular checkups, so many children and their families are on their own once treatment is complete. With 75% of children experiencing complications after treatment, this was a serious inadequacy. Local Lions wanted to ensure their community's children had access to the critical care needed. A $36,900 U.S. dollar matching grant from LCIF provided the funded needed for Lions to establish the country's first mobile follow-up program for childhood cancer survivors in partnership with the local nonprofit organization Association Heart for Children, also known as AHFC. Children can experience psychological issues, delayed development, or reoccurrence of the cancer, among other consequential complications. Absence from school can cause children to struggle with learning. They may have a hard time relating to their friends and need a program to support them then as they readjust to life and become proactive about their future health. In addition, the parents and siblings of childhood cancer survivors often experience feelings of anxiety, depression, symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, and guilt. These families need guidance on how to be the best support system, not only for the child in recovery, but also for their other children. Lions purchased and equipped a van with necessary medical equipment, preparing it to travel across the country to children identified by Lions and AHFC. Each visit brings a full team, including a doctor, a nurse, a psychologist, a social worker, and an educator, all of whom specialize in childhood cancer. In addition, the team will include a peer counselor, often someone who is also a young cancer survivor. The peer counselor can relate to the child and act as a promising example. The team assesses the children and develops a plan for future follow-up care. Thanks to Lions and AHFC, the van will serve up to 200 children recovering from cancer each year, along with their families, and will provide these services at no cost. I am very happy to be sitting in our van, knowing we will be having to bring a smile to our children's faces, says Nedra Musik, childhood cancer survivor and peer counselor. We are happy to have lived to see it happen. Our next article is from Morocco. The doctors are in. These young medical professionals aren't waiting for retirement to make an impact. And this is from April of 2020. On January 26th, 20 doctors, all members of Lions Club's Doctors Unite in Casablanca, set out for Dwar Ait Tanjat Taglift, a small visit near Taroudant, a coastal city in the south of Morocco. Their mission, done in partnership with Mubadarat Al-Khair Association of Beni Malal, was to provide medical care for the residents of the village. Sadly, medical coverage in Morocco is particularly lacking, says Lion Sawal El-Jamali, communications director for the club. Communities inside of cities have trouble getting the health care they need. Ones in villages are sometimes completely cut out of the health care system and sometimes have to travel a long way to see even a primary care doctor. The Lions who attended this particular caravan had specialties ranging from general medicine to dentistry to pediatrics to gynecology, among others, and they treated approximately 800 people during the two-day visit. They also initiated an oral prevention campaign in the community, provided dental consultations and extractions for adults, and distributed medicine donated by members who are pharmacists. The club also brought clothing and food baskets to hand out, and as though they weren't busy enough, began a redevelopment of the courtyard of the local primary school. We did some painting and put up some bookshelves with books for a small library that the kids could have access to at any time, says Jamali. The Active Club holds several humanitarian caravans each year and always goes to a different area in need. They often work with local organizations to help identify the exact needs of the communities so they can plan accordingly. Money for the projects comes from several fundraisers, including the Run for Atlas, which is a race through the Atlas Mountains, and a soccer tournament called Kick It for Hope, which raises money for a special caravan dedicated to screening for ovarian and breast cancer. Nothing makes you more satisfied than the idea of knowing that we participated in relieving a dental pain in a child, warming up a pregnant woman, or even helping an elderly man to gain autonomy, says club president Manal Fata. Our next article is an international article from December of 2020 entitled Play With Me. Ball for Children Without Sight aims to create a more inclusive world. Elias Mastouroris couldn't believe that he hadn't seen the need to help young children who are blind play soccer. For years, Mastouroris has helped make blind soccer popular across the world. Mastouroris, a youth soccer trainer, became a referee for adult blind soccer games in 1999. He worked as a Paralympics referee in 2004 during the sport's Paralympic debut in Greece, his home country, and in 2016, he became the global referee coordinator for the Paralympic Games in Brazil. He's seen how much joy players get out of the game and how much fire they bring. But one day, when giving a blind soccer ball to a three-year-old child, Mastouroris realized that the ball would be far too heavy for him. The ball used in blind soccer is bulkier than a normal soccer ball, weighing more than a pound due to the steel ball bearings inside. The bearings rattle as the ball moves so that blind soccer players can locate the ball by ear. But the added bulk of the ball made it hard for young children to play with, Mastouroris realized. This was a heartbreaking realization for Mastouroris. Children who are blind are often left out of play in school since they can't see a traditional ball, and they are typically the only child without sight in their schools. So they're left to listen on as other children play. I always say to my trainees, think outside the box, Mastouroris says. But it took me 20 years to realize there's a need to have a lightweight sound ball that young children could put in their bag, take to school, and play with everybody. Mastouroris knew that he had to do something. In 2017, he created a mini sound ball, one that rattles just like the official blind soccer ball, but is light enough for a two-year-old. Mastores created the Ball for All campaign, which is promoted by Youtherama, his nonprofit located in Greece. So far, a Ball for All has given out between 3,500 and 4,500 balls. The balls can only be donated and are never for sale. The ball comes with a package, including a DVD and a manual, which also comes in Braille, for how to play other games with the ball. In return, Mastores asks recipients to send back pictures to confirm that they received their package. So far, he's received pictures back from 142 countries, some of which he didn't know existed. Often, photos are of young children who have taken the ball with them to bed, falling asleep with it cradled in their arms. The most powerful experience is a lion. Panos Sinodinos, a lion who belongs to Greek club Thessalonica Heraclea, met Mastores in 2019 during a common service activity. During the activity, people were blindfolded and led around by guide dogs to experience what it was like to be blind. Mastores brought the mini sound balls to the event. Sinodinos, his blindfold removed, was immediately taken by the idea of giving such a ball to children. Sinodinos put together a plan and pitched the idea to his club. It worked. They ordered 30 balls, a Lions logo printed on each, and then offered them up to Lions around the world through social media. So far, his club has sent balls to Lions in 10 countries, including Paraguay, the Dominican Republic, and Denmark. Bannersloon Frederikshavn Lions Club in Denmark presented a ball to a 14-year-old boy named Mads who had been born blind. Bannersloon Lion Kurt Mehta said it was a great pleasure to see the effect the ball had on the boy. Mads was immediately on the floor with his mother, Pia, and the ball was kicked, Mehta said. Mads said that he would have to take the ball to school the following Monday and play ball with his seeing friends. It's a small ball, but it's a big joy. Mads' parents, Pia and Lars, said that the ball has made a big difference for their family. Over the years, Mads has had many surgeries on his face and eyes, enduring more pain than any child should have to face. But the ball brings him joy. Mads brings it everywhere. He often brings it to school and daycare and loves playing with his friends there, that his parents say. Thessaloniki Heraclea Lions also donated balls to local children in Greece. Sinodinos was touched when they received a big, excited hug from one particular child. "We believe in this project," he says. "It really inspires us. This is the strength of our organization, in my opinion. We take something small and we make it even bigger. A ball for the entire world." These moments of joy happening across the world are why Sinodinos feels that a Ball for All campaign has been his most powerful experience as a lion. He's never seen a project that has had such a great impact from such a small donation. In 2021, Sinodinos said that his club will host the Europa Forum and will push to get enough donations to donate the ball across the world to further spread the joy it brings. "This is such a small act of kindness, but you offer so much joy that if you could donate thousands of dollars, this joy is much bigger," Sinodinos says. "And it's only the start. In the near future, we will probably be able to donate hundreds or even thousands of these balls. This is the huge impact that LCI can offer to our world." Lions have enabled Mastores to reach beyond his network, and many, like Sinodinos, have taken the project on as if it were their own. "We know about the Lions' commitment," Mastores says. "We know that they will take the ball into their local community and will make an impact." Mastores' goal is to donate the ball to someone in every country across the world by the end of 2021, but he also has a larger goal. He wants to help create a more inclusive society, one where all children, sighted or blind, are included in play. And our next article is from the United States, from April of 2020, "After Flooding, the Revival of an Ecosystem." In 1997, the Red River Valley, which spans across the North Dakota and Minnesota border, experienced the most severe flooding it had seen since 1826. While Grand Forks took the brunt of the damage, residential areas along the valley in Fargo were evacuated and many homes were destroyed. In the aftermath, the city of Fargo purchased the land and homes in the floodplain. The homes were razed and the area was banned from development. Jane Pettinger, a Lion who lives in Fargo, not far from the river, says the area was in limbo. The houses had been torn down, but the landscaping and some driveways remained. One day, a fellow Lion was walking through the area with his wife when she mentioned it could make a lovely park. He brought the idea to the club, and they agreed. They partnered with River Keepers, a local nonprofit advocating for safe and sustainable use of the Red River, and little by little, they built a park. They mowed paths through the grasses, former lawns, mostly Kentucky bluegrass, that had grown tall, created a small amphitheater for small classes, and built a viewing stand in the trees to watch the native wildlife that had eagerly returned to the area. A Boy Scout created the original sign as an eagle project, and when it began to look a bit faded, Pettinger's own son created a new one for his Eagle Scout project. "It's very well used," says Pettinger. She says on any given day, there are typically at least a dozen people in the park, fishing, bird watching, or just relaxing and enjoying nature. In 2014, Audubon Dakota established the Urban Woods and Prairies Initiative, which aims to reestablish native riparian habitat diversity to combat the rapid decline of even the most common bird species. The initiative works with cities and park districts to target floodplain buyout properties to create quality habitats for birds. "The Red River Corridor is important for native birds," says Sarah Hewitt, Conservation Programs Manager at Audubon Dakota. "It's particularly important, an important migratory route for the golden-winged warbler and is the only intact migration corridor for more than 20 species of birds." Audubon Dakota brought the Fargo Lions Park into the program in 2016 and began removing the buckthorn and replacing the turf grass with native grasses and wildflowers. Incorporating a wildly diverse mix of plants creates a diversity of wildlife that can use the area, says Hewitt. "Keeping migration corridors intact is particularly important because when these are fragmented, populations are impacted," says Hewitt. "It means birds can't breed properly or find the resources that they need to survive." The conservation plan includes several years of coaxing the reestablishment of native seedlings, helping to keep weeds and invasive species at bay until the native plants can establish themselves. When Audubon's 7-year plan is completed, Fargo Lions hope to continue as stewards of the land, continuing the conservation of the important landscape well into the future. "We just want it to be educational," says Pettinger. And our final article for today is from April 2020, "Cycles Help Disabled Feel Freedom on Wheels." Nearly 40 million Americans live with a disability. If Joe Tarver had his way, all 40 million would be on bicycles. "People need exercise, and there's no exception," says Tarver, a member of the Lubbock, Texas Lions Club. That's why, for 3 decades and counting, he, his wife Nona, and their son Brad have worked to provide accessible, customizable bikes to children and adults with permanent disabilities. But the Tarvers haven't done it alone. With them have worked numerous Lions, many of them from the Lubbock area, to help people with disabilities across the exercise, fresh air, and fun, access the exercise, fresh air, and fun that provides so many benefits to mind and body. And it all began with one idea. Tarver is the founder of New Ideas Development Incorporated, a company that guides new ventures to the market. About 30 years ago, he found himself holding a patent to a bicycle technology called front-wheel drive. Cycles with this technology are powered by moving the handlebar up and down with the hands rather than pedaling them with the feet. "We were putting it on 2-wheeled bicycles," he recalls. "It wasn't really going anywhere." That is, until an acquaintance caught wind of the innovation and told Tarver about his young daughter who had spina bifida. The girl's legs were paralyzed, but she would be able to operate a front-wheel drive three-wheeled cycle since it wouldn't require her to balance. So we welded up a three-wheeled bicycle, went down to Walmart and bought some paint, spray-painted it real nice, and took it to her. It was a total success, he says. We didn't think much about it. Then the phone started ringing. We got calls saying, we need something like that too, says Tarver. So we built three more, and it just kept growing. Accidentally, really, like a lot of good things. The Tarver's efforts are eventually evolved into Cycle for Life, which is cycleforlifeproject.com, a Lubbock-based company that works with Lions clubs and private foundations to make accessible bicycles available free of charge to people with disabilities. The cycles are manufactured in Taiwan, then customized by Cycle for Life according to the recipient's abilities. For example, if riders have low muscle tone, they can use a cycle that is powered by both hands and feet. If they don't have the use of their legs, they can use a front-wheel drive cycle. If they are blind, they can use a centipede model that connects to an additional bike so they can ride tandem style with a sighted person. And if riders aren't able to use their hands or feet, they can sit in a wheelchair that connects to a bicycle so they can enjoy the movement and fresh air while someone else pedals. The cycles can be further customized with armrests, lap and chest belts, baskets to hold an oxygen tank, for example, and other options. Each cycle costs about $1,500 to manufacture. Past District Governor 2A1 Alvin Owen of the San Angelo, Texas Lions Clubs was immediately taken with Cycle for Life when he encountered some of its bikes on display at the Texas Lions State Convention. Right away, he thought of San Angelo Lions Charities, a local 501c3 through which the town's seven Lions Clubs can donate funds for those in need. And so, late last year, San Angelo Lions Charities purchased 80 cycles from Cycle for Life and began distributing them to those in need. So far, they have distributed about a quarter of the stock. The only qualification is that users have a disability that prevents them from normal activity. There's no financing whatsoever. The individual could be a millionaire or a pauper. It doesn't make any difference. The cycles are loaned to users on a long-term basis. That's so that if the person passes away or their disability gets more serious so they can no longer use the cycle, they can return it to us, Owen explains. Until then, all we ask is they keep the cycle secure and keep it out of the weather so it doesn't deteriorate. And we're going to have to stop that article a little bit short due to time, but thank you for joining us today on our little flashback to 2020, some of the articles that we weren't able to read during that time due to shutdown. And I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Lion Magazine. Be sure to tune in next time. I'm Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. Lion Magazine is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. And again, that number is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.